Welcome to I Bet So Hard, technology and workflows that really work, the not so serious podcast for seriously busy veterinary teams, brought to you by Vet to Pet.
Listen for quick, fun interviews with veterinary professionals who've retrieved and actually held on to their sanity, happiness, and success by learning a few new tricks and embracing efficient processes that actually work.
I'm Dr. Stacey Santee.
And I'm Dr. Caitlin DeWild.
And this is I Bet So Hard. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's new over there?
Wrapping up a crazy weekend, but not too shabby. How about yourself?
Yeah, same. I've been binge watching Netflix shows.
What are you watching on Netflix?
Okay, it's terrible, and I'm obsessed. It's Squid Games.
Oh my God, you did? You're one of those?
I did. I wasn't going to, but I saw Jimmy Fallon and I'm like, oh, this must be good. I'm going to watch it. And It was actually really good once you get over like the horror of it. I thought it was pretty good.
That's, I'm disappointed in you.
get in line, girl.
I know. I don't have any time for that negative energy in my life. I don't like any of that stuff.
What are you binge watching?
Like a lot of Octonauts lately, my kids. It's actually an awesome show. I would encourage everyone to watch it. It's very educational from the animal standpoint, so I kind of like it. But I did watch a grown-up show this weekend, and I'm very proud of myself for doing so. I watched two because my husband took my kids camping, so I could actually watch real shows. I watched the LuLaRoe documentary, and then I watched a movie called Late Night, which was on Amazon Prime, which was also very good. So, but the LuLaRoe documentary was fascinating.
Who's LuLaRoe?
You don't know what LuLaRoe is?
No, I never heard
of it. Like the leggings and stuff?
Like Lululemon?
No, that's like a nice athleisure wear company. You know, LuLaRoe, they're like the Tupperware version of leggings and clothes. It's a national thing, not just Midwestern, but obviously us Midwesterners are all about the leggings. So maybe I bought like 7 of them when I was pregnant and I still wear them. So I
thought it was a good company or a bad company.
They're a bad company now. Like the secret is out that they are totally like an MLM, like multi-level marketing situation. And they ended up screwing a bunch of people over, but it from a business standpoint, it was fascinating to see how they built this empire and then in a very, very quick time and all based on these like really mostly terribly ugly yet hilarious leggings, but they're so soft. So it's tricky. I'm so conflicted.
Oh, that is what you chose to watch on your one day of freedom.
Well, I knew I was going to watch a movie, but I was trying to like clean while I was, so I didn't want to watch anything like really great. So I was like cleaning my house and just put something on. I got to have sound on. So, and I was podcasted out.
Yeah. Except for this one. Thank you, listeners, for being with us at the I Bet So Hard podcast. Today's topic, we decided we wanted to talk to y'all about the workflow around firing a client because it's a thing these days. Clients have lost their freaking minds and acting out, and teams are tired, teams are exhausted, and they do not deserve to get beat up. But the chances are high that you may not have a workflow around this topic.
It's true. And I think we should mention that the impetus for this podcast on a Sunday afternoon was because you and I also were just doing a webinar, which was kind of unrelated to the firing concept like totally came up and was like taking off in the chat. And a lot of people were like, how do you do it? What do you guys do? How do you do it? Do you have a template? We were like, oh man. And I was really struck by one person who said, and I thought this was very true, that, you know, 30 years ago, nobody ever fired clients, right? So is it that we're more sensitive now, or clients are more assholey now? I don't know. Like both could be true. And I think that's actually partly that, yeah, I'm going to lean towards that. But the reality is same thing. Like, I don't remember ever firing a client, even when I first got out. Like, we did fire one, but it was extreme, and it was because they were actually arrested in the clinic. But like
that's our bar.
We're setting the bar pretty low.
That's a pretty low bar. If you our policy is if you get arrested or you rob us, you're getting fired.
We had a naked person once too. That probably should have been immediately fired, but there were some underlying things there. But that's a podcast for a different day. However, I think it's true. We've never really had to think about this as much as we have now. And I am the first one to be like, I'm not going to fire people. Like, everybody just needs to be grown up and just get through the day. But now I'm like, I think it's happening. My cat is losing her mind in a box at the moment. So I'm sorry.
A litter box or?
No, actual box. I made the mistake of unpacking a box in here and she can't get enough. I'm sorry.
Hurricane's the best cat ever. She can do what she wants.
She's our mascot. She really gives no fucks. So she should definitely be taking some advice on this. Okay, so let's get down to business though and actually talk about a workflow, because this podcast is not about Squid Games or LuLaRoe or terrible cats. It is actually about technology and workflows. So let's actually talk about that. I'm going to be real honest that I didn't have a workflow for this, even when I was medical director. And I think if I was medical director now, I would definitely need a workflow. So let's talk about it. Number one, what do you think is the first step into establishing your workflow for dealing with terrible, sucky clients? Go.
You've got to get a policy around this. I mean, don't do what I did in the past, which is just wing it. Winging it doesn't really work anymore because nobody knows, and mostly your own self doesn't know when they've crossed a line, because the lines are blurry. And if you don't have a policy that you created when you weren't pissed off, when you were calm and in your zen moments of knowing what you would and would not tolerate personally and for your team, you're left in a really vulnerable spot that's confusing. It's gray zone. But really, guys, you got to get a policy in place so your team, and more importantly, your own self as the leader of the team, knows what flies and what doesn't.
I think even if you're not a leader, but just so you're clear on, as a team member, like at what point does someone get fired? And I think it would also help you. Like if you're totally getting yelled at in the moment, if you're in the mentality of like, this is my life and this is going to happen all the time and nobody's going to do anything about it, that's a totally different ballpark than if you are getting yelled at and dealing with somebody being a total jerk, but you're like, but tomorrow you're going to get fired because you just used this word against me and we're not tolerating that. So I think that's a different mentality, and I think that would help our teams get through the day. And again, like you said, just make the policy clear and concise as much as you can when there's not a gray zone. But if the team is aware of what that is, and especially if they have the ability to contribute, if you ask your team, like, I think that'd be fascinating. I actually want to ask my team this. What, like anonymously, what would you say is grounds for firing? Because my grounds for firing is, as a practice owner, would be way different probably than the people that are actually probably the front line of dealing with these clients, right? And they might say, well, this is the one thing that makes me hate my life or totally hate this job. Well, I need to know that, right? Like I maybe wouldn't take it that hard, but if they are, that's a real problem. And we have a retention problem in this industry. So like, let's make sure that everybody's input is at least gained, right? At least asked for. So when we do that, I think that will help us define the policy. And maybe it is just automatic firing if you have to be arrested in the clinic. Like, I think that's clear cut. If the police are called, you're out. If you assault somebody, you're out. If you use hate speech, you're out. Like, there's a lot of gray zone in this topic, but there's a lot of black and white too. Like, if you use this word, or if you do this, if you assault someone, like, those are pretty hard pass. So write those down.
Yeah, I think too, you know, I'm envisioning a couple ways to gather this information. One is you can have a team meeting, everyone gets a bunch of sticky notes, you ask the question, what should we fire clients over? And then just go to town, give them 15 minutes and stick the stickies all over the wall. And then
it might be a very therapeutic exercise. That might actually be a kind of a fun staff meeting.
It would be very illuminating and very, I love this. And then, you know, just let it sit there. You don't need to solve it during that team meeting because you're going to need some time after everyone leaves to look at all these sticky notes and try to bucket them in categories of like immediate dismissal, not dismissal. Like, it's not that bad. We can probably work with this situation to like the gray zone. So you should have three buckets, like definitely you're getting fired. Definitely. Maybe. And no, I would do that. Now, if you don't have the ability to do that, consider using this tool called Jamboard. It's a Google tool. And I believe it's jamboard.google.com. It's part of your Google suite. And it's a brainstorming sticky note board. And you just share a URL and people can put sticky notes on the board under in the right bucket. So, I mean, this is about getting the information you need to make the policy.
Love it. Okay, I think our second step, once you have collected the information, you actually need to write it down and make sure that the whole team knows and can read it, knows where that lives. This should be a if this, then that happens kind of thing. It should also probably line out the who, what, when, where, why, and how situation. So like who is actually going to process this? When are they going to do it? Is it like, I would not, unless it's, you know, again, arrested in the practice, I would say this requires a cooling period for all parties. There's no reason in most cases that it has to be done immediately. So, you know, how do they do it? Is it a call? Is it a letter? Is it both? I think that should be written down and published, whether that's in your employee manual or, wherever your other important documents live from a tech standpoint. And I promise Google does not pay us to endorse all of their products, but Google Docs would be a great tool for this because then it could just live online.
I love that. And this is the rules of engagement, guys, just like Squid Games. There were serious consequences if you did not follow the rules of the game. So just get yourself some rules, publish them. I imagine you're dealing with a tough client and you walk to the treatment area and you're like, oh, we have a number 5 violation in room 1. This is going to be a great way for you guys to hold each other accountable and know what the frick you're supposed to do in these volatile, emotional situations.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you heard of Vet2Pet? It's the only customizable, all-in-one client engagement and communication platform in veterinary medicine. Vet2Pet's loyalty program is proven to increase practice revenue, and their robust reminders mean that practices can stop paying for multiple communication platforms. Vet2Pet manages it all. Visit vet2pet.com/ivetsohard. That's vet2pet.com/ivetsohard.
Okay, what's our step 3?
Step 3, this one bugs me a lot. Personally, I suffer from this. I will have a bad interaction and then I just can't stop thinking about it. I go, you know, you've seen it happen. Your team member gets yelled at by a client. They're telling everybody. They're going to come in the back and unload. They're going to go in the front and unload. They're going to keep unloading because you're explaining your side of the story. You're trying to get your word out. You're emotional. This is a bad, bad zone. This is going to definitely affect the day's mood, the culture long-term of your business. So give people a way to get it out. I love the idea of using Jotform here. It's a link. It says, I've basically been treated like crap and I need to let someone know. This form will have the person's name and the details of the situation. And you encourage your team to fill this form out as close to an event as possible. So if they get yelled at, they get to a state where they're crying or they have a bad interaction, we should get them off the floor. Please go fill out your form submission as soon as possible so you get the facts right. But really what's happening here is you're letting them unburden themselves and get their story out, and they know it's going to get heard. You know, I recently was flying internationally and I had such horrible customer service experience with American Airlines in my baggage. They're charging me $600 for my bags. It was not right. The girl was messed up.
Wait, were you bringing something back that we need to know about? Why
that heavy? Exactly. That's what I said. My clothes cost $600. Come on. It was so asinine. Yet this person was not hearing of it. I was so heated until I wrote the email to the airline company to tell him how stupid this was and how wrong it was. Only then did I like take a breath of like relief. Like I got it off my chest. By the way, they gave me all my money back. But I'm just saying, like, get it out of your system. Give people an avenue besides blathering it all over the clinic and like really ruining everyone's day.
I especially love this reason. I love your idea about the drop phone for a couple of reasons. Obviously, I think it's a great idea so that there is like an outlet, right? Like the let it go scenario. However, I also like it because number one, then, or you know, number two, I guess, technically, letter B. I think it's awesome because you would have a written document, right? You would have a written thing that you could add to the, you could review first and then add to the record, right? And letter C, or point three of why I love it, is that the person who is handling this and receiving this, what if it's their day off? We don't want to, like, I know it sucks when you have a client that needs fired and that happens, but as a manager or an owner or director or whatever your title is, you don't want to hear about it on your day off if you don't have to. So this allows people to do it in a way that can be also used for the medical record and in a work-life balance kind of way. I love it.
Awesome. What's number four?
Number four, it's the worst one because it involves my least favorite topic, which is, in general, adulting. I am not good at it. I need to get better, especially considering my age, which is advanced. So, but it's something that we all need to really think about, which is to be calm and professional. I hate it, right? Because my natural inclination, when you have a client that sucks or you get a bad review or whatever, number one, we all take it personally. And then number two, we're all mad as hell. And we're like, you know, that gif of the cat like typing, which is fine, but we can't let that become public because it's just not worth it. Number one, number two, it's not a good look. Number three, you never know who's going to see that, right? So I don't want to send like a mean, hateful email or letter and tell this client to F off, even though that's really what I'd really like to say because I'm a child. However, that's not good. And I don't want any of my other potential clients or existing clients to see it because you never know who's going to screenshot or post that on social. You don't want to do that. So be calm, be professional, be succinct. Short and sweet. You don't need to get into all the nitty gritty details. You know, let it go.
Let it go. I have tried this several ways to fire clients, and I've tried the like immediate response to the situation, and I've tried waiting 24 hours. For me, I'm Italian, so I try now 48 hours tends to be my sweet spot. But like this one client one time, his name was Tom. Oh my God, I lost it on this guy. And yes, he deserved to be fired, but he probably didn't deserve my wrath at the moment, which was I screamed at him, nobody likes you, not one person. Nobody in this entire clinic thinks you are a good person. I really didn't handle this well. So
thanks. Ouch.
Don't do that, guys. Just don't. And so I developed some strategies that helped me. So I want to share them with you. When I immediately am in that space of being so mad about the way a client's acting, is I grab my notebook and I write a 1-star review for them in my notebook. And I write everything I wish I could say to their face, but I can't. That helps. And then I wait 24 to 48 hours to chill out. The other thing I find helpful if I'm feeling really bad about myself is I will just randomly call a couple of my VIP clients that I know love me, and I'll just call to do a little check-in on how their pet's doing, and I'll get my tank replenished with some good energy. That whole event is such negative energy. And if you are a people pleaser like me, this stuff really eats away at you. And you got to watch out for the signs, because it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's totally not. All right. What is our fifth and final awesome tip?
You know, if you work at a practice and you don't see that things are happening when people treat you like shit, it doesn't make you want to stay at the practice. So leadership needs to summarize and communicate out to the team what happened and why we chose what we chose, what we tolerated or what we chose not to tolerate. Maybe, you know, it makes sense for a team meeting. I really hate bringing this kind of negative energy into a team meeting, so I might find another way to do it.
I think this is a Slack channel thing.
Yeah.
Slack. A quick update, like a one sentence in the like clinic news thing. And that way, again, we're not bothering people on their day off. We're not bringing that negativity into their out of work mindset.
And just using it to say, reference back to your policy. Per statute number 6, this client received this information and was given this action. And so do that, communicate to your team. Also be ready to communicate to the client. Now, legally, we know in a lot of states, you have to send them a letter to let them know that they're not eligible to do business at your practice anymore. So you got to get that in writing, get it mailed out with a copy of the record. But make sure everybody knows what's going on. The client knows, the staff knows, and I'm a big fan of somehow documenting this in the practice management software. You know, it's way easier when we have paper records, because I use my little circle with a dot in the middle symbol for, you know, the international symbol of asshole, but you can't really do that so easily on the electronic records. But, you know, put 86 after their last name, do something, color code them. You can figure it out. What you don't want to happen is you're not there that day and this client tries to come back in the door 2 years down the road and someone else has to deal with them again. That's a bad scene.
That's the worst too, because I've actually seen that happen where the client has received a letter and then they call because they're all pissed off. And then if the front desk has no idea that they were fired or why, then they're going to be scrambling, right, to deal with this person. And that is the last place that we want to put them in. Because again, they're always on the front lines of this, and that's super not fair. So yeah, I think communication in general with the team, in the record, and then whatever your actual, you know, template is, or your policy is to communicate with them. That if you have a call, maybe have a phone script. Again, Google Docs, I swear they need to send us some money. Maybe a t-shirt. So I think Google Docs would be great for a template for your letter. So again, you're not writing it when you're mad and you already have it halfway done, right? It's just already there. The framework is already there. And then a Google Doc for a phone script if you're going to call them. I think that would save everybody time and money and a lot of heartache. So yeah, I think we have a bonus tip for this workflow. However, do you agree?
Yes. What is it?
Well,
you agree. Like, what's the bonus though?
Like, sure, bring it on. I think the bonus tip here is that, you know, we've talked about specifically several of these things allow us to like let it out and make it more efficient and painless, but we're not talking enough about the not focusing on it. Let's do a bonus tip of, again, make sure your team knows all the good things that are happening to you, right? I think that's something that some, you know, depending on the practice, but sometimes management is who handles positive reviews and post-appointment surveys and, you know, gets the feedback and is the first one to get the nice cards in the mail. And we got to make sure everybody knows that on the team, because if they think all we're doing is firing people left and right, that's not great either, right? So, and I'm not suggesting we do fire everybody left and right. I hope you're going to set up this whole workflow and write up this policy and write up your scripts and your letter template. And then I hope you're not going to have to use it. That would be amazing. Yeah. That's like my goal for everyone. That's my wish for you.
Oh, that's so sweet, Caitlin. You're so sweet today.
That's rare. Don't get
guys, I want to share one other bonus tip is from Ted Lasso. Be a goldfish here. You got to let this stuff roll off. You know, I think the saying goes by Ted, you know why the goldfish is the happiest animal on the planet? Because it has an 8-second memory. So get it dealt with and be done with it. And then go fill up your tank. Figure out what it is. For me, I go shopping. For, you know, it might be hanging out with friends. It might be doing something besides thinking about this. It's done. It's negative energy. It's not making you a better person. So move on. Take care of yourself out there. We know it's not easy.
Amen, sister. All right. Well, we will wrap this up and we will put these 5 steps to creating a workflow for getting rid of those sucky clients. We will call it something much more professional because, again, hashtag adulting. We will do that. And it is available on our website if you go to ibetsohard.com. And we would love for you to rate and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts and tune in next Friday for the next episode.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of I Bet So Hard.
Don't forget to head over to ibetsohard.com to download our top 5 takeaways from this episode. We'll see you right back here.
Same time, same place, next week.
Until then, here's to putting your technology to work for your practice.